Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome back to our continued coverage of CUNY Mutual Group's Discovery Conference. And one of the sessions that we sat in on was entitled U.S. Economic Outlook and Its Impact on Credit Unions, presented by CUNY Mutual Group's very own chief economist and very popular person this time of the year. Actually, he's been very popular the last couple of years, if not always. But Stephen Rick was he was the presenter. And again, very popular guy in the credit union industry because he has all the numbers. And in this particular clip, he talks about the robust growth of our economy of the likes that he hasn't seen since 1984, a long, long time ago. So we also talk about, or else he also talks about inflation, interest rates, forecast, whole bunch of stuff just in his opening segment here. So check it out.
What we're going to start out with is the economy out of a recession. Are we seeing economic growth? And the good news is yes. If you take a look at our first chart, we are going to see very, very robust economic growth for the next couple years in the United States, coming off that pandemic recession of last year. If you notice on my chart here, we have a big negative red bar there in 2020. There is your COVID-19 pandemic recession, where the economy produced 3.5% less goods and services than it did the prior year. This year in 2021, we're forecasting 6% growth. I saw the Federal Reserve just yesterday announce they're forecasting 7% growth. Now, we haven't seen growth like this since 1984. And just to put that into perspective, the last, I was still wearing short pants back in 1984. That is a very long time ago. We're forecasting 4% growth next year in 2022. That should put the economy into a state of overheating. We will see some pressures of prices rising. Even by 2023, we're forecasting another strong year of 2.5% growth. Now, why do I say strong? Well, notice my gold line across this chart. The gold line is around 2%, and that is the long-run growth rate for the U.S. economy. So basically, for the next 2.5 years, we are going to see very, very strong growth in the economy, which will lead to the big question. A question on most economists' minds and most debates amongst economists are on this question right here. Inflation or deflation? Tell me if you can. Will we be Zimbabwe or will we be Japan? You know, Zimbabwe about 10 years ago was running through some massive hyperinflation, over a millions per year inflation, where Japan is on the other end. They had deflation, where prices were actually falling. Well, will America go into a higher inflation mode or a lower inflation mode? Well, let's take a look at some data. This is a chart looking at inflation. You can see this blue line is up to 5% year-over-year price increases. You know, that means the cost of living is up 5% more than it was a year ago. So when you go out to buy milk and bread and eggs and gasoline and pay your rents, they may be up 5%. From where they were this time last year. You can see that's the high since around 2008, so it's a 13-year high here. Now, a lot of economists believe, you know, we call this transitory inflation. It's just temporary. It's not going to last for a long time because as the economy reopens, there are some supply disruptions, some bottlenecks taking place. And we, you know, we're wondering, you know, will it really be transitory or will it be a little bit more permanent? So that's the big question. So prices are up 5% on this measure. Economists look at another measure of inflation called core inflation. This excludes the volatile food and energy sector. So if you forget about food and energy, everything else that you buy is rising 3.8%. And you notice on this chart, that's the fastest in over 21 years. My chart goes all the way back to 2000 here. We haven't seen that. We're above the long run kind of target on this, about 2.5%. So we are seeing price pressures. Is this leading to higher interest rates? Well, one way interest rates go up is because of higher inflation expectations. Notice this chart here measures inflation expectations going back all the way to 2007. And right now, those bond traders on Wall Street believe that we'll probably see around 2.5% inflation each year for the next 10 years. So we're not seeing a big jump in inflation expectations. You can see that's right around where it's been the last 13, 14 years. It's a little bit above where it was in 2020 when we hit a low point there, right in the middle of the pandemic. But it still seems that inflation expectations are anchored. We use that word anchored to say, you know what? It's still right around the Fed's 2-2.5% target there. So we're not seeing the bond market thinking that this higher inflation today is going to be more permanent. They say, yeah, we're going to see that the economy reopen, some pricing pressures, but it's not translating into long-term higher inflation expectations. But this rise in inflation expectations, as you see on this chart, inflation expectations has risen in the last year or so, which has done this to interest rates. Notice the blue line I just added on is the 10-year Treasury note interest rate. That has come up from its low, from its bottom there of around 0.5% interest rate last summer to around 1.5% today. So it's come up one percentage point. But notice it's still below inflation expectations. It's still below the 2.5%. So let's do a little thought experiment here. If you buy a 10-year Treasury note, you're going to be paid about 1.5% interest on it each year for the next 10 years, but inflation is expected to be 2.5%. So in a sense, your real return, your real interest rate is negative, which is as we see on this line here, where it's a minus 1% real return on your bond, meaning the purchasing power of your money is actually falling 1% each year for the next 10 years if this actually plays out and we see 2.5% inflation. Now, why do we have negative real interest rates in this country? Well, that's mainly due to the Federal Reserve. Quantitative easing, which is just the Federal Reserve printing up money to buy assets. Right now, they're buying $80 billion of Treasury notes each month, and they're buying $40 billion of mortgage-backed securities each month. That injection of money into the U.S. economy is keeping interest rates in the negative territory. So this is quantitative easing at play. This is similar to what we saw back in 2012, 2013, when we also had negative real interest rates in this country. There was QE2 and QE3 taking place back then. What do we forecast for interest rates? We believe this blue line, the 10-year Treasury note, will rise one more full percentage point over the next year and a half. So by the end of 2022, expect another increase in the blue line, but not because of the inflation expectations, but because the Fed will start tapering and start reducing their bond purchases each month, and that will slowly raise the black line, the real interest rate, which will push up the blue line, the nominal interest rates in the United States, like I said, about one percentage point over the next year and a half. So the big question that's being debated about higher inflation, lower inflation, well, here are all the talking points the economists have in this debate. The economists who believe we're going to have higher inflation say, number one, we have pent-up demand for goods and services. So we have demand right now increasing faster than supply, and that pushes up prices, but just temporarily, transitorily. Number two, rising energy and commodity prices. As you've probably seen, oil prices are over $70 a barrel now. Copper prices have doubled in the last year. Lumber prices are up 400%. Massive monetary and fiscal stimulus typically is inflationary. The value of the dollar has fallen recently, which should push up import prices, which allows domestic producers the ability to raise their prices. We're seeing rising housing. We'll talk about that more in a minute. And medical care costs. And we've seen a little bit of those rising inflation expectations up to 2.5%. Now, those are all the factors pushing inflation up, but in any debate, there's got to be factors pushing it down, and we have them here in green. E-commerce is one of the most powerful deflationary forces. Now, when I say e-commerce, think about the Amazon effect and all the other online retailers keeping a lid on pricing power with your, say, your local retailer. Number two, rising competition from globalization. You know, it's really hard for, say, Harley-Davidson motorcycle to raise the price of their motorcycles without losing market share to, say, Yamaha, Suzuki, BMW. Number three, we're seeing strong increases in productivity, which is lowering the labor cost per, say, car or per motorcycle. Low population growth here in the United States and around the world. We still have a negative output gap or excess production capacity. The average factory is still not running at 100% yet. And number six, excess supply of labor. There's still about 10 million workers who need to be brought back. And until that comes, we're not going to see strong price pressures.
Thank you very much, Stephen. And stay tuned for more coverage of CUNY Mutual Group's Discovery Conference here on CU Broadcast.